Go Loud presents Murder Most Irish. Find it first on the Go Loud app and on all major podcast platforms.
Cloud Pickers coffee today, and I was gonna get the croissant, but then I was like, no, that's too heavy. So I got one of their delicious scones. And they gave me the lovely
jam. You had a scone?
I had a scone. Because you were talking about them last night.
You bitch.
And all I could think about when I came home was like, why'd she talk about them and not make them?
Yeah, I know.
She's doing a lot of yapping. No action happening though. She was like,
Graham said, by the time you make it, you won't want it anymore.
He just loves naysaying, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm.
I was in Sarah's yesterday and she was like, oh, I'd love a scone. And then she started looking up how to make scones and I stayed quiet because I was like, I'm not going to ruin this moment now. I'm not going to come in with any logic here. Like, it's too late. I said, shut the fuck up, Emma.
And see if she makes them.
See if she makes them. Nope, she didn't.
Graham talked me over.
She said bye.
I didn't say bye.
She said bye.
I did this morning when I was going into work being like, oh, I should have made scones.
I had, they do cherry scones.
I love cherry scones.
I love a cherry scone.
And I put it in the microwave for 10 seconds.
Guess what I did when I went in?
Put it in the microwave. Put it in the microwave for 10 seconds. And then I take 4 things of butter.
Slather it on.
On each side.
Do you put jam?
No.
See, they gave me jam.
I like jam. But whatever it is about a scone, I just like the butter.
You just like the butter? Because the girl was like, do you want some jam? And I was like, yes.
That is unbelievable.
It's so good.
They're also in the airport in the American part.
Are they in T1? Oh, shit. Okay, I won't get to go then.
Yeah. In the American part of the airport, when you go past...
T2. That's T2.
When you go past American Customs, there's Cloud Pickers on the right.
Did they not take over from Starbucks, though?
No, because there's still a Starbucks in T2.
It's their fuck.
Yeah. Just as you go through duty free. There's a Starbucks there.
But there's one in the corner, and then you know there used to be one down the end.
Well, that could be Cloud Pickers
I think
now.
That's Cloud Pickers
well, then
now.
They're also down in...
Yeah, I think they got the contract, as far as I know.
Yeah, they're down in the American customs.
Cloud Pickers are really nice, and they're very pro-Palestine. And I don't drink coffee, so I don't know, but apparently the coffee is
I'm
really good.
I'm not a coffee drinker unless it's full of sugar.
Their hot chocolate is fucking delicious.
Is it?
Yes, really good. Well, it's not as good as the sugar... Crack cocaine sugar hit of Insomnia. Hot chocolate.
I wish Insomnia would sponsor us because we go there all the time.
Insomnia, if anyone even works in Insomnia.
Yeah, we go to Insomnia.
Send an email to head office, please.
All the time, and we get 2 hot chocolates.
Let's see.
Oh, sorry.
Like, when I say sponsors, just give us hot chocolate.
Yeah.
I don't want anything else. Just. Although, I do find their croque monsieur are quite nice. They do a nice croque monsieur.
I like their thingies, but I like their hot chocolate the most.
If anybody from the French restaurant called Le Petit Breton that's in Drumcondra also wants to sponsor us, hey, please.
They do delicious food.
Fuck me. If you're ever around that area, it is so good. Get the French toast with the bacon. They must be out the back murdering a pig and giving you the whole thing. There's so much bacon.
Yeah, they
sorry
give
to
me
the
a
vegans.
Lot of bacon.
Apologies to the vegans. Also, just wanted to say hello and thank you to everybody who left lovely comments on Instagram and on our Spotify account.
It's the beginning of the podcast?
Yeah, we're in. Thank you so much to everybody who left really sweet, lovely comments.
So many people messaged me and was like, I'm delighted. And then the Facebook page was...
Hopping! Were they
hasn't
mad?
Hasn't hopped since 1996.
Were they mad?
No, they were like, oh, I'm delighted. My favourite part of the show is actually the girls talking. I never cared about the timestamps for the
because I always put the timestamps because people asked for that. They were like, can you just... And I was like, yeah, sure, of course. I always did that. But just to say thank you so much for being so understanding because I actually felt sick when I put that up. I felt sick. I was like, I don't know. Even when I sent it to you guys, I was like, I don't know.
Someone did send me a message and they were like... Oh, I'm so happy and you guys are amazing, da, 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 da. And I said, oh, Emma was really like worried about it. And they were like, oh, why? And I was like, I don't know. But as I said to Emma, I was like, we either do this or no more podcasts.
That's literally it, yeah. So, and I want to do this. Mm-hmm. Like, I like doing this. And obviously it's going to take us a little bit of time to get the flow of what we're doing. Like, it's not going to be...
Sarah's deep diving how you build a format for a podcast.
Yeah, it's not going to be like...
And then getting bored.
Yeah.
12 minutes into it.
Yeah, and you're not going to pay attention to it.
Well, I did. I tried my very best.
This is what Sarah would do. Sarah would go, how do you format? Oh, what's the best way to format a podcast? And the article would be, here's how to format a podcast. And Sarah would go, don't tell me what to do.
Well.
And click out of the article.
Yeah. And also, I just feel like, I'll just ask him.
So yeah, thank you so much to everybody for being so kind. And yeah, I was worried, but everybody has been so sweet.
Everybody has been sweet. And if you're not, like, if it's not for you, that's cool.
That's cool. Don't tell Sarah.
Don't tell me.
I'll be like, sorry.
Someone says something really nice on the Facebook page where they were like, I love listening to the girls laugh. And then, you know, the way I'm really paranoid about my laugh?
Yeah.
Or like, and I love Sarah Jane's laugh the most.
That's so nice.
That means so much to me. I'm so paranoid about my laugh. People always comment on my laugh.
Why are you paranoid about it?
Because it's quite, because I can't stop how loud it is.
Yeah, I like natural laughs. I like when somebody laughs and it makes you laugh. Like, that's some of my favourite shit. And you're not like, like, you're not obnoxious. Sorry, that could be someone's laugh. I apologise to whoever has that laugh.
Well, you are. Fix it. God knows I've tried to fix mine.
But yeah, like, I know I like when people laugh. I like people's laugh that make you laugh. Like, there's nothing to be paranoid about.
Yeah, it made me. It was like, oh, that's so nice.
But thank you to everybody. We love you.
Me and Graham came up with a new game today.
What's your new game?
So I said to Graham, when we were driving down to get Lily, I said, I reckon I could tell your penis in a lineup. Like, I could tell it was your penis.
Oh, yeah, of course you could.
And then I was like, oh, maybe I couldn't.
No, you could. You've seen it.
And then he was like, that could be a TV show, because Channel 4 would make anything.
Channel 4 would absolutely do that.
And he was like, you could call it Whose Dick Is It Anyway? Yeah, and then I was like, I could probably tell it if I put it in my mouth.
Sarah, that's disgusting. Cut all that out. I never want to talk to you about you putting your husband's penis in your mouth as well.
And then he laughed and I laughed, and you're leaving that in and calling him. No, you're cutting it out. No, he isn't.
Ew. But yeah, as I said, it's going to take us a little while to kind of get the gist of what we're doing, because we're so used to having like intro, middle, end.
Yeah, but even sometimes when we were doing that, it was...
And we haven't done housekeeping in yonks.
Well, we haven't had any.
We don't. Is there any?
Well, we have housekeeping.
Put the jingle in.
Housekeeping.
Yeah. There we go. What?
That we just, everybody that reached out, everybody that messaged us, everybody that said lovely things, everybody that's sticking with us, I really, really appreciate it.
Yes.
And we just want to say a big, huge thank you to everybody.
Yeah, and I'm glad that we're back, and I'm glad that it's...
Someone did send me a lovely message, actually. I can't find it, but someone sent us a really, really, really nice message.
Also, my sister is in labour right now.
Oh, yeah.
So by the time we all listen to this, she's going to have her little baby. Congratulations, Becky and Daniel, on the birth of... Insert name here.
Did you see that AI thing that they did where they put the different AIs into a simulated world?
No.
And left them alone?
What did they do? Kill each other.
So it was interesting because... I can't remember all the names of the AIs, and I didn't realise there were so many. But the first one was like, I think it might be in Copilot, and I could be wrong, so don't quote me on that. But the first one, they created, like, the AIs voted, they created a society, they developed laws, they got on. The second one, which was the ChatGPT one, they...
Hookers.
Talked about it, everything.
Okay.
And got nothing done, because they just kept saying, we're going to be collaborative.
Like liberals.
Got nothing done.
Okay.
The third one was Grok.
I don't know what that is, but okay.
That's Elon Musk's AI.
Okay.
And they descended into a lawless society and burned down and murdered all... There was none of them left. And they went back all died.
Yeah, I well believe that that's what happened.
Nah, I don't know what happened with the last one.
Yeah, it's scary.
Well, isn't that so telling of like the information they're putting into their systems?
Like, I know this is awful, hot take. I judge the fuck out of people that use AI. I judge you.
Why do you think that's awful?
Because, not awful, I just think it's a hot take.
You think it's a hot take?
Yes.
I think that's pretty on the nose.
No, a lot of people are using AI.
I know everybody is using AI.
Like, and I'm sorry, if you have to use artificial intelligence to send an email, please get... You should not be allowed to have a job. Like, what are you doing? An email? What did you do before this? What did you do 6 months ago?
And the other thing is we all know.
Oh, you know, like, it's so funny. Sometimes people will send me stuff from work, and I'll be reading it, and there'll be somebody beside me, and I'm like, this is AI. And they're like, how do you know? What do you mean, how do I know? This is not written by a human. I can tell it's not written by a human. You know, and there's not, like, the idea, there's nothing wrong with not being incredibly intelligent. There's nothing wrong with not being very smart. It's not about that. It's just about using the brains that you have. Use them or they go away.
Yeah, you're not going to get any smarter either.
Use them. Read a book.
Like
someone said to me a little while ago, where was I? I was online or something. I follow this guy. He does book recommendations. And somebody wrote underneath the comment. He was talking about a book. Why would you read it? Just like get AI to summarize it for you. I don't think these people understand the point of reading a book is world building. Like, you're meant to immerse yourself in somebody else's thoughts and feelings. Like, it wasn't like a non-fiction, but it was a fictional book. And instead of going, I'd like to enjoy what this... They said, just get AI to summarize a fictional book.
That's like saying, just get AI to give me the synopsis of this TV show.
What are you doing?
And then I don't need to watch
it. But that's where we're going. Like, that's what's happening. People, and like, and it's not even like hyperbole to say it. People are getting dumber.
Yeah, and
they are
their attention spans are getting
gone.
Yeah, really, really bad.
Like, I'll be watching a video on Instagram that is like a minute and a half long, and people will have commented
too long.
No, not even too long. Commented on the first like 10 seconds, which is. Not the synopsis, like the end of the video. And people are like, did you not watch this video?
Yeah, I've seen that too. I've seen that recently with a lot of people where they'll
immediately
make
blah, blah, blah,
a comment
like, but
and then not watch the video. And then you'll see people being like
that's the point of the video.
Finish the video?
Like, I feel like I'm going crazy. I feel like I'm going absolutely fucking insane and it's exhausting and I don't know.
Like, I don't think it's a hot take, and I wouldn't think it's a hot take in the sense of, like, I think a lot of people feel that way.
Yeah, I know, but I
and
also
I know
feel...
we have talked about being in, like, an echo chamber and a bubble, so maybe we're protected from... But, like, in work, oh my God. Within people who have been emailing you for, like, 6 months in a certain way
and then all of a sudden
you're like, hey, Johnny.
What is this valedictorian speech you're giving me?
What's happening here?
It's so bizarre, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, it's
for you to have put all this information together, you would have had to have done like a green belt in Sigma.
Like, there's something going on here because it happens a lot.
You're just watching the GAA at the weekend. So what's happening here?
Like, realistically, I would rather read something, and I've said this before, that is written by somebody who actually genuinely means what they're saying and what they care about, and you can tell, than someone sending me AI slop. Like, slop. Like, I'm...
And, well, the other thing as well that I always find with the AI thing, it's the thing of, like, you don't... When people start to use AI in particular for, like, their job, if the person doesn't know what they're meant to be doing...
Yes.
It is... When I tell you, you are telling on yourself within 10 seconds of me reading that email, being like, oh, you didn't even know the prompt to put in, but...
Like, that's the thing. It's like, you don't... AI is not going to...
Figure it out for you.
Like, the thing is, people can use it as a tool. I understand that.
Using AI or artificial intelligence so that, like, people who do have disabilities, like, maybe are physically disabled. Because your whole beginning of AI is that technology that began that idea of, like, hey, turn on a light bulb for me.
Yeah.
And that's important.
Fine.
And they're all tools. But a lot of the things that we have from technology now have started in...
a more positive idea.
Yeah, in this,
but like they use AI to find breast cancer, early detection of breast cancer.
And I
patients.
Think all of those things
absolutely.
Are absolute. But I think burning the world and using all of its water supply like
so
that,
so you can get a picture of yourself as a gremlin.
Someone sent me. Someone I said to someone in work, and this was like about a year and a half ago, and I was like, oh, I think I need to get like a new photo for LinkedIn. And someone was like, just put it through ChatGPT or AI. And I was like, oh, no. And then they did it for me. Oh my God, the picture set me. I was like,
no,
howling.
Stop it.
Howling. I said, sorry, this doesn't even remotely look like me. I said, I look like a beautiful Brazilian woman.
It's insane.
I had curly hair because in the picture they obviously used was like, I curled my hair. But AI took it that I like,
you had
curly
naturally
hair. Curly hair. My eyes were brown. My skin was perfect.
Yeah, no, it's insane.
But like,
so people are doing this. Like, people are going on dating apps and putting up AI pictures of themselves.
Oh, yeah.
Also, if you see that and you go, oh, they're really good looking, you're stupid because that's clearly AI. Yeah. And it's so funny when people are like, you can't tell when it's AI. The second I see their mouth moving, I'm like, that's AI.
I sometimes struggle with the ones where it's like, lately I've seen them for, because I watch a lot of like hair videos and I've seen stuff come in and I sometimes struggle with those. Where I have to like, but I immediately know something's wrong So I'm like, ooh, is this AI? And I'm like questioning myself. And then after like the second or third watch, I'm like, oh yeah,
it's AI.
But
it's like those, the Republican, all the lunatic Republicans are creating these AI girls. So they're creating like Instagram accounts and creating these like women, AI women, but they're not telling people that they're AI. So they'll have like, I saw one yesterday, it was like this alt girl, like an alt baddie as they call them. Oh, sick of my mouth. But she's looks like she'd be like me. But she's really like, can you guys believe that women can vote this shit? And there are men in the comment section being like, that's my wife. We need to get married. It's fucking AI. It's AI. You're so dumb.
Did you see that woman who's in the relationship with the AI bot, but he has an Irish accent?
Yeah.
And he's really mean to her.
But isn't he an octopus or something as well?
I don't know.
It's insane.
I don't understand.
Is she doing a bit?
And I don't know enough about AI because I don't know how they get the character.
Like they created, they build it themselves. So you can build a character.
Like a chatbot?
Yeah, you can build like a person and give them like whatever personality traits.
He's a cunt to her.
Is he?
Yeah, the way she's designed him, I was like, sorry. Like, yeah, she was like, what do you think of my outfit? And he was like,
you look like shite.
And he's like, if you're going for the I don't care today look. I said, sorry, I'll throw this laptop out the window.
Just tell us the laptop. He's abusing me.
Yeah.
Plug it out.
Yes.
But also I do think that as well as that, the conversation has to be had about the damage that the social media has done to like our personal image and how we see ourselves and stuff like that. And that's all linked into the AI stuff. And like, you know, it's just, I don't know. And oh, hey guys, Pro Anna is back in full force. So that's great.
I was like, what's Pro Anna? Is this a new ChatGPT? I don't know about. There's so many.
Pro Anna is back and it is so deeply upsetting and triggering and horrible to all the girlies out there that have had eating disorders or suffered with eating disorders or currently have eating disorders. I'm really sorry.
Well, I mean, that guy, Justin Long, is doing Ozempic
videos. Ozempic ads. Ozempic ads. Yeah. I got an ad today for some food replacement thing and
I messaged you,
people should be in prison and they blocked me.
Yeah.
You should be in under the prison.
Someone messaged me because I put one of them on my like story on Instagram and was like, I don't know how I'm getting targeted. But also there's that guy that's married to that fucking CEO guy. Diary of a CEO, Stephen Bartlett.
Oh,
is that
I
his
hate
name?
That cunt, yeah.
There was like a clip of him and he was like, I know one guy that's completely substituted all of his meals with this.
Oh, so he's an eating disorder?
An eating disorder.
So he is under an eating disorder.
And I was like, this is literally like
an eating disorder.
Yeah. And someone messaged me being like, I think they're really handy for days when you're gymming. And I just wrote, you've an eating disorder.
Because let me tell you something. The healthiest people in the world are people who go to the gym. Yeah. They certainly don't have any body issues or disordered eating.
I was like, you have an eating disorder.
Them eating 6 breasts of chicken with no flavour and then starving themselves the next day to get gains is definitely not an eating disorder. Yeah. But I mean, who cares? Because they have muscles. But they are smoking and doing copious amounts of drugs at the weekend. But they're super healthy.
Yeah.
Healthier than you, in fact. Mm. Anyway, like it's, I just have no patience for this. Listen, go to the gym. Fucking
do you. My auntie Cora used to say this great thing because she's a tiny little round woman. And she used to say to people, I'm anorexic but winning the battle. Whatever.
I'm anorexic, but I got better.
Yeah, but I'm winning the battle.
But yeah, like the Pro Anna stuff is horrific what is happening at the moment. Like it is terrifying. If I had a child that was at the age that they've access to the internet, when I tell you I would have them on nothing, they would be in the stone age. Oh my God, it is everywhere. Body checking is fully back in.
It's body checking.
So body checking is, do you ever see videos? It's primarily women, unfortunately, because we are the people that suffer a lot more with eating disorders, more obvious eating disorders. Do you ever see a video of a girl? So she has like the camera in front of her and she's doing this to the side, to the back.
Oh, I've never
like
seen
pulling
one
at her top. Or oh, you have to. They're everywhere. Like you wouldn't even know that it's body checking, but I know that it's body checking because I know all this shit, like cause I've done it all. But yeah, body checking is back in a big way. So
and
it's
is that
like,
to like demonstrate?
It's to be like, look how skinny I am from the side. Look how tiny my hips are. Or they like pull up their skirt a little bit to see the dip in or the thigh gap. Or they like lift their arm like that so they don't have any bingo wings. It's body checking. It's what people with eating disorders do, but they don't film it. So it's body checking. It is insidious. I see it constantly and I'm so hyper aware of it. And I'm like, I know what they're doing. The second they start doing it, I'm like, she's body checking. And then I'll go and check their followers or their who they're following. All... And it's all pro-Anna bullshit. And it's so sad. And it's like so worrying because I remember that was so prominent when I was coming, like my late, like early 20s. That shit was so prominent online.
Who was president
and
then?
Who was president?
A fucking conservative, I tell you that much. It.
And then to segue into something else that you just said there, that literally what I was talking to you about today, this is all linked. So I was reading this thing today. There was this girl online and there was a video about Megan Thee Stallion.
Yes.
And Megan Thee Stallion's boyfriend cheated on her. And Megan Thee Stallion's boyfriend is a pro athlete, so of course he cheated on her. I mean, 2 plus 2.
Yeah.
If you were dating a pro athlete, they're going...
Sorry, no. 2 plus 2. If you're dating a man...
If you're dating a man...
There's a 90% chance.
Especially a man with money,
yeah,
power...
And access.
And access. He's going to cheat on you. I'm sorry. That is just... this happens constantly. Like, all these married pro athletes are all...
Shakira's husband.
Look at Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods is such a good guy. Tiger Woods could not keep his dick in his pants for 3 seconds.
Literally.
He could not keep his penis in his pants.
Could not stop driving drunk.
Do you remember
drunk?
he had to do that, like, televised apology?
Yeah!
I had forgotten about
that. And we will say...
somebody put it up last week and I all his family were in the audience. Like,
I will say, a serious athlete.
Who?
Tiger Woods.
I mean, yeah.
I watched a Tiger Woods documentary.
Like, they built
him. 2 days, I was like, I'm mad into golf.
They built him to be that. Like, it's a Beyonce thing. Yeah. They built her. But anyway, so she put this video came up about Megan Thee Stallion.
A mad looking fucker.
He is a mad looking fucker. Megan, I think he looks like, do you ever see, talking about AI, when AI makes people look like babies, grown people look like babies?
Yeah.
He looks like that all the time. Anyway, so video came up about the beautiful Megan Thee Stallion and how her boyfriend had cheated on her. And in the comments, there were women. This just really upset me. And one woman said, I'm with my man and my man hasn't cheated on me, but Megan Thee Stallion's man cheats on her. That should be a war crime. And I was like...
I think she commented on how she looked as well.
Yeah, she was like, she's so hot. She's so beautiful. And her man cheated on her. That should be a war crime. I was like, do you think that only hot women shouldn't be cheated on?
Oh.
That was the thing. She was like, because... She's like, I don't understand how I haven't been cheated on. I'm not even attractive. I'm not attractive like her. So I should be cheated on. But because she's so beautiful, no one should cheat on her. And I was like, what are we doing? But it's the same thing as I've said it before. When people have been like, so-and-so got cheated on. I'd be like, well, Beyonce got cheated on.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, hold on a second. Hold on. Bring this back in. Nobody should be cheating on anybody. And regardless of how you look, there should be no part of your brain going, I deserved that. But because she looks like that, she doesn't deserve that. Mm. She doesn't deserve it anyway. I literally had to put my phone down because I was like, I don't understand. Like, what are we doing? As women, what are we doing to ourselves? We are literally making absolute shit of ourselves.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But that's the normal position
that's
as a woman.
So upsetting.
I know, but that's like normal. It's normal as... I know I've spoken about it like at length. And I'm doing a lot of work now in work around women in leadership.
Yeah.
And I've had so many examples. I was given a talk and I was able to pull examples together of women who had made themselves smaller by making jokes about themselves in the room to get into the room. To get the men to go, oh, she's
just
like us.
She doesn't take herself so seriously.
She's just like us. She's a terrible person. Like, and I had one example recently where I was on a call with like two older women, and this one woman has been, when I say like, she was the head of the world for the company she worked for.
Wow.
She could not go any higher.
She was amazing.
And she was talking about the fact how we couldn't go too hard on a certain message at the next board meeting because we needed to make the men feel comfortable. We needed to make the men feel comfortable before we like push this idea that they need to have more women at the table. Because we wanted to be, and then the other thing she said, which that then made me like, because I was kind of willing to let that one go. And then the next thing she said is, and we need to make sure that like the woman that does make it to the board is the most credible, competent person. Because if she's not capable, they'll think none of us are capable. she's gonna, and I was like, oh, I said, I'm gonna stop you there. I said, that's internalized misogyny. What you're doing there is internalized misogyny. It's a normal thing to do, but you need to recognize it because you're the leader of this group, which is about getting women into leadership. And I was like, and what you're saying is that the level of pressure that person is going to be under just because they're female is going to be 10 times more than any man at that table.
The most basic of them.
Because she is a woman. I was like, that is not, and I was like, and also, we can't get there unless someone recognizes that there's 17% of us in this entire industry. Someone's going to have to take a punt on a woman with less experience to get us through the door.
100%.
Like, that's the only way. There isn't an equal footing for us. Like, but that idea where it's like punching,
yeah.
Punching down,
like to make,
on who, your own type.
Yeah, to make yourself
feel small and like you can fit in there. And I've seen you've seen it so many times.
So many times.
Where women do that thing where I'm just hanging out with the boys.
Girl.
Or I'm just like, my friends are boys. But girls are bitches.
It's when all of a sudden this bimbofication bullshit came back last year. Yeah. And I was like, I could not hate this anymore. They were like, oh my God, it's okay to be a bimbo. Are you out of your fucking mind?
But we're living in a fascist society. Yeah,
this
we're
is
living
what they
in
want.
Fascism.
They want you small. They want you tiny. They want you hairless. Full bush for life. Don't give a fuck. They want you hairless. They want you skinny, tiny, like a little girl.
Take up less space.
Take up less space. Shh, don't talk too much. Yeah. Oh, if you're going to hang out with the boys, make sure to make fun of yourself because boys like that. And it's not even kids. These are grown women. These are grown women. Yeah. For a woman to sit down and go, I am not as attractive as that woman over there, so therefore I should be treated badly. And they should be treated better because they're attractive. Is the most insane statement you will ever... I need you to... If anybody is listening to this podcast and is thinking this, I am begging you to not think that because it will change your life.
Yeah.
It will do whatever you can in your power to stop thinking like that. Because when you stop thinking like that, you take power back.
Yeah.
And you let people will not treat you bad. Like, you will, not that they won't. You won't let them treat you like that. Like the idea of being like, I'm so ugly that my boyfriend should fuck other women. That's basically it.
Yeah.
What are we doing?
Yeah.
But even with that lady you're just talking about, where she's like, we just got to get one woman in there. And what you got to do that is just be real, you know, easy and be like, oh, good.
And she did like, she has.
And this woman's like, incredible.
And she's retired. Like she's.
But at what age?
But that's what I was about to say. She came up at a time in the industry that I work in now where she was saying that like one of the boardrooms that she got into where she'd been promoted, one of the men at the table was like, oh, we're going to have to watch our language now because this person's here. And she went, well, actually, I'm not going to be able to stop myself using that type of language. But she was like, she was walking into places where they still had like page three girls up on the wall.
Yeah, this is the thing you kind of have, this generation.
And so like, I do wonder, like I didn't in the meeting, I wasn't like, yes, you're wrong. But I was like, you need to recognize that what you're doing is internalized misogyny.
It is.
And if we go down this route, we're not going to get action. We're not going to achieve what we want to achieve.
Exactly.
Because we can't continue to make ourselves small just to make them comfortable.
Make
because
yourself
making
as big
themselves
as possible.
Small, making ourselves small to make them comfortable means we don't get a seat at the table.
No.
We don't get invited to play the golf.
And even if you
we don't
do get
to
a
do
seat
the
at the table, you're never going to be equal. No. You're never going to be you're not going to be equal at that table. They're going to get a full portion, you're going to get a half portion.
Yeah.
Like I think a lot of that is generational though, you know, you'll see.
But there is the rest of the group are like my age.
Yeah.
And they just didn't recognize them.
Really?
Yeah, because we're all surrounded by moments in life where we have to interact with like male dominated systems and you immediately try and make them comfortable with the fact that you're a woman.
Isn't it crazy?
And it's not the other way around.
No,
they don't try to make themselves recognize that you're uncomfortable. They don't do that. Isn't they don't that recognize. Like we had a whole talk recently. I was doing another thing at work and there was a guy that like asked, he was like, I asked a bunch of women that I work with because we were doing this steering committee. And so we asked for men that had females on their team to ask them a bunch of questions in a round table. And don't get me wrong, we definitely got men that wrote back being like, when's International Men's Day?
November 17th. Do you know
what I mean?
That?
And
I know.
I just wrote back saying, Google it. Like, But, and also, I wrote back, Google it, and you're telling on yourself. Everybody on the female thread.
You don't know what net
masculine. Also knows the type of person you are immediately.
Immediately.
But there was one guy, and he was like, I never, until they started to talk to me about the experiences they'd had in the workplace where I work, I just never saw it. I never recognized that. I never understood it. Like,
and it was only when people started saying this happened. This
like
happened,
really
this
simple happened. Things. Like we have, like, I would never talk to my manager about the fact that I have really bad periods. And maybe for 2 days out of every second month, I can be in excruciating pain and have a headache.
Really
and
uncomfortable.
And,
yeah.
And I will go out of my way to make sure that I don't ever. But if that was a guy that was suffering from some form of long-term illness, like a kidney disease or like diabetes or whatever, or gout or like a sports injury, we would never not have that discussion.
No, it would be
and
hard.
They would never be made feel uncomfortable.
No, it would be hard.
But it's that, even that idea, access to like I work in warehouses and logistics, right? So we had Amazon sites at the time when I worked there that you would probably do kind of 27,000-32,000 steps before you'd get to like one side of the warehouse. So if you're in the middle of the warehouse and your period comes on,
oh my god,
and you don't have access to a bathroom and you're working with nothing but men,
oh my god,
and also the bathroom doesn't have tampons
or towels,
you've got to get from that side of the warehouse back to your locker room to again go to the bathroom. And it's those types of things that like...
But ergonomics. Most things are not built for women. Cars, homes.
Yeah.
Probably transport.
Yeah, like, we die in car crashes more than more men frequently because it's not.
But it's like the same thing as like... I remember... I think I've said this before and it was something that I didn't realise until Flavio said it to me one time. We were in the kitchen. He was cooking and he was like, oh, my back is killing me because he's like 6'4". And I was like... Yeah, because I was like, you're leaning over constantly. He was like, yeah, you don't have to lean over because they build kitchens for you. And I was like, bro, what the... Yeah. Like, I hadn't even thought... It didn't even... I was like, they built kitchens for us!
Yeah. And they commodified all of that stuff. Because if you think about World War II, when all the women were asked for work for the men leaving, we got into these roles that we never had access to ever before.
No.
And the only way they got us back into the house and back to be housewives is by marketing all of the tech stuff that goes into your house to you. So they were like, the today's woman...
The blender electronic,
yeah,
5,000.
Like, today's woman is this vacuum, does this, and it's in the colour pink. And today's modern woman has access to a stove that has this on it.
Literally.
And so they commodified you as a housewife. And they... Like,
they tried to make it like a fun little thing that you would do.
What they tried to do is make you... That's now your job.
Yeah, and like
your career.
You went from working in like a factory when your mom was away to going to the house, and you've got a blender and you've got this new fangled thingy and a bubble. But like it's the same thing, not to bring up shaving, but I just want to say this. I had an argument last week or the week before with a person in work, another woman, by the way, about shaving. And I was like, oh, I don't shave. And she was like, what? And I was like, I don't shave. And she was like, that's a bit unhygienic. And I went to her, did your boyfriend shave? She did not know what to say to me. I was like, did your boyfriend shave his armpits? Did he shave his crotch? Did he shave his arsehole? Is his arsehole waxed?
Is it unhygienic? Or have you just...
And she went to me, it's different. I said, why is it different? They sweat more than us. Yeah. So how is it unhygienic? And she did not know. She spent her entire life thinking her having body hair was unhygienic, but her stinky ass boyfriend, who doesn't wipe his arse properly so he has shit bits in his arse hair, isn't unhygienic because he's a man.
Yeah.
And then I went to her, you know, shaving was only created because when World War II happened, they needed to market razors to people in America because they all went to war. So they started telling women they should shave their bodies. Yeah. I was like, did you know that?
It's crazy.
So I was like, so was it not unhygienic before World War II?
Yeah.
What are we doing here?
Yeah, no, it's crazy.
Like, listen, shave whatever you want. Be smooth as a whale. I don't give a fuck. But don't ever, ever in your life tell me that having body hair is unhygienic to a woman when your stinky ass, crotch ridden smelly cunt of a boyfriend is walking around not washing his arsehole because he thinks it's gay and does not shave a single thing on his body except his ugly face and his bald head. Do not turn around and tell me it is unhygienic because I will fucking beat the shit out of you. I'll beat the shit out of you. But that's what she said to me.
It's that thing of what you said about the collective. And people who want to be part-time feminists don't realise the insidious ways that this like creeps into
everything. You are creating these ideas for women.
Like, and it goes back to the beginning of time, but it gets worse when it comes to World War II in particular. Is like a clear, like Betty Crocker.
Yeah.
Betty Crocker is built on the backs of the idea of misogyny.
Yeah.
It's built by a company that was like, hey, we need to figure out how to make Betty, how we get women to stop essentially cooking, because Betty Crocker didn't start as cakes.
Yeah.
It started as like food, like as in meal, hamburger meal, yeah, that type of thing. Yeah. Home helper. So they're like, we need to figure out how we get women to stop buying vegetables and stop buying meat and stop going to all these different stores and buy this. So what do we need to do? We need to market to make women want to be the woman on the cover,
on the cover of this thing. Yeah.
And that's why Betty Crocker has never looked the same.
Yeah.
She changes depending on the current situation, on how they want women to
like interact with it. Like that's, but it is, it's crazy when you talk to people about this and then they just think you're a crazy feminist, but I'm like, but I'm not a crazy feminist. I'm just telling you facts.
Yeah.
These are facts. Like, I'm not making this up.
I had so many conversations, and it's worse. But
like Lily last week. Oh my God, Lily's trying to say to me, I was like, oh my God. She was like, oh, there's a girl I go to school with and we're going on the school tour. And on the note for the school tour, it says, wear shorts because they're going to be doing activities or whatever. And this Lily's 11.
Yeah.
So Lily's in class with another 11-year-old. And this 11-year-old, now when you think about this, when you're talking to your daughters about using razors and shaving, this little girl turned around to Lily and went, I don't want to wear shorts. And Lily went, why? And she was like, because they'll see my hairy legs. She's 11. They'll see my hairy legs. And Lily went, who cares? And I was like, Lily, I fucking love you. Lily's going to be such a little rampant feminist. I can't wait. She was like, who cares if you have hair in your legs? 11 years old. That's what she said to Lily. So, you know, you, when people, this is what I'm talking about in a vacuum of feminism. As I said, it's absolutely, once again, a disclaimer. Oh, it's fine if you shave. I don't care. I don't care if you shave. Shave. Shave everything. Be hairless.
I shave.
Sarah shaves. Sarah waxes. Sarah gets electric stuff.
I've got laser.
You know what?
You've waxed my armpits.
Get people to put lasers in your body so you don't have body hair. Whatever. I don't care. Do whatever you want. Disclaimer. I don't give a fuck. But when an 11-year-old is turning around and thinking that the hair on her legs is bad and dirty, but the 11-year-old boy doesn't.
Yeah. That's it.
And that These are conversations like, that need
Lily,
to be had.
Lily has grown up in a house with me and I have no hair on my legs.
Yeah, but Sarah has never been like, the hair is dirty.
Like.
And you can't have hair.
Yeah.
That's not.
No.
And that's the problem.
No, I have hair on my toes and my feet.
But that's, this is what we're talking about. That's a personal choice that you've made.
Yeah.
But your personal choice.
But I have moments as well in our time as friends where I will grow my armpit hair.
No, I full.
Yeah, where I'm like, I'm like, okay. And sometimes I really like how it looks.
Yeah.
And sometimes it hurts me.
Yeah, so and I get that. Like, I'm like, that's fine. That's absolutely fine. But you never would turn around and say, I'm dirty, but my husband having hair is not dirty. See, this is what I mean. It's like, this is when I put little disclaimers. This is what me saying, I don't agree with shaving for me personally. That's a personal thing that I don't want to do. And that is very much rooted in how I see my body and feminism. I don't want to shave my body. I have no reason to shave my body. If I'm with a man and he's not shaving his body, why the fuck should I shave my body? So you feel good? Suck my arse.
Did you hear about the man that did the thing on RIP that day?
No! What is this?
Oh my God.
You said it to me the other day and I was like, I don't know what this is.
I'm going to read this out. I'm going to get it. I screenshot it because it made me laugh so much. Joan, my deepest sympathy to you and your mother's death. RIP.
Okay.
You were my girlfriend years ago.
No.
When you were in Feely's Academy School in Roscommon Town. I was dating you in Carrick too. We met in Kitty O'Shea's nightclub in Roscommon Town. I often thought of you after to see how you got on the to see how you got on. No mobile phones that time. I think it would have been the late 80s or the early 90s. I think we were too young to settle down, but I'd like to get in contact with you again and then put their mobile number.
He put his mobile number?
Yes, in the thing. It's
no.
He put
his mobile number in
the army and it went everywhere. Everywhere. I'm just going to read it out again.
Her ma's dead.
Joan's mam died.
And Willie said.
And this man said.
She's going to need comfort.
I'm going to give it to
her.
She's
sad.
Yeah.
We're getting in there.
I'm going to give it to her. If ever there was. Do you remember the fucking Wedding Crashers?
Yeah.
Do you remember Will Ferrell was where all the pussies at his funerals? RIP.ie trolling for women.
Also obsessed with whoever found this.
Joan, my deepest sympathy to you on your mother's death. RIP.
I am horny.
You were my girlfriend years ago when you were in Feely's Academy School in Roscommon Town. Joan. Man. The bit where he says, I often thought of you after to see how you were get on. Now, there's no, I mean, there's no.
No, there's no.
No mobile phones that time. This, I'm telling you now, someone said to him, he must have rang his ma. Not the way you'd ring your ma and she'd be like, what did you do? And I'd say he got the horn immediately. I loved her daughter. I used to finger her at the back of Kate O'Shea's in Roscommon.
Remember? Joan. So sorry about your ma. Remember when I used to finger you?
Finger banging the shit out of you outside Kate O'Shea's.
Joan, I'm so sorry about your ma. Like, honestly, do you remember?
Joan.
I'm obsessed because this is the putting the mobile phone number on a website.
Honestly, we were too young then to settle down, but I'd like to get in contact with you again.
Her mother died.
Yeah, her mother's just died.
She's fresh.
Yeah.
Freshly dead.
RIP.
The rigor mortis has just kicked in.
If this is RIP, we haven't even buried this woman.
This woman's still on this earth. Yeah. Not in the earth. Oh my god.
Love to get in contact.
Also,
again.
I feel like the amount of text messages he was after getting from random people.
Oh, I'd say RIP is where it's at.
Oh my god, imagine if she got back to him. I know Joan is like, I'm going to kill this cunt.
Like,
oh my god.
Yeah, I know Joan is like, are you fucking. Imagine Joan had a boyfriend then and she married him. And now Joan is
Joan's
like. Joan's husband's seen this saying, sorry, what's going on here now?
Also,
I met you in Kitty O'Shea's.
What night was it?
You wanted me to drop the hand.
That's insane. Yeah. But like, I'm not surprised because I know someone and I won't speak about them because that's their personal business. But they had a loss very close in their life. Somebody died very, very close to them in their life. And they told me that the person that died, their friends were immediately texting her. And immediately being like the friends of the person that died, being like trying to comfort her,
like her someone that she was seeing.
Yeah, her partner died,
and then their friends
were texting her.
Wait, no, I'm gonna. We might have to cut this out. Fuck it, I don't give a shit. My aunt Kristen,
yeah,
married her late husband's
best friend,
who they used to go on holidays together with. So his wife died. And her husband died. Now, they weren't in close proximity. Like, it wasn't like my Uncle Eamon died and then, like, fucking 8 months later, my Aunt Kristen was out, like, having the time of her life. But they weren't.
But, like, what miles was the apart. Was the
I can't remember, but I remember it was all being shocked. But also, we were just all shocked by the person.
Of course. That is shocking. Like, you don't expect that. Yeah. But then, obviously, when two people are in really bad grief and they understand what the other person is going through. And then, obviously, this is...
But there is that dating thing. Remember I told you about someone we know, their ma was on it, and that's where she met her stepdad. It's called Minus One.
Oh, yeah! Yeah!
Where they...
Minus shocking. One. That's shocking!
Yeah, Minus One.
Minus One.
Yeah. I'd go for Minus One even if Graham's still alive.
Is he dead? Not yet. Not yet.
When I signed up to Minus One, Graham, you know the Grim Reaper's coming.
That's crazy.
Yeah, she went to Minus
but
One.
Like, it is. It's quite common, I know, when... Not common, but I do know people who have, like...
Oh, so what kind of text messages was this woman getting?
Like, I can't...
Are you dying for the ride?
I don't want to talk on her. I'll tell you afterwards.
Okay.
But, like, people who's, like, say... their siblings, like, it's two sisters, and one of the sisters' husbands dies. Or no! The sister dies and then the husband is left and then this other sister like gets with the husband. That happens. That's like that happens a lot.
My brother-in-law is like a eunuch to me.
Girl, they are sexless beings to me. Sexless beings. Ugh. And that's nothing on them. It's just to me, I'm like, oh, there is a man. Like I don't.
Yeah.
Like that video that I commented on and then you go.
I was
like, my best friend's husband is literally sexless to me. And then Sarah underneath, he's sexless to me too. I was like, okay! I was crying laughing at her. But that's it. Like, Graham is, I love Graham, but Graham is like,
yeah.
And then there's women whose best friends are riding their husbands.
I know.
What?
Like, it's the same, like, honestly.
And what are you doing?
Never, ever.
Like, it's not even a thought process.
Me and Kevin used to mess. Yeah. So, like, Kevin is Graham's best friend.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And Kevin was my friend.
Yeah.
And then Graham would be at work, and it was back when I was fucking jobless on a Tuesday.
And Kevin, your unemployed friend on a Tuesday.
And Kevin was in college.
Yeah.
And so he'd come over, and we used to call a Big Macs a blowy. Like, it was just a joke.
It was a joke.
If Kevin showed me his penis, I'd be like, put that away.
It's just like crazy to me, like, I never, like, but that thing with best friends happens a lot. Like, you see, like, stories of being like, oh, I moved in with my husband, and then 2 days
later, I was driving with someone the other day, and they told me about a friend group they had, and they said that they were concerned because one of the friends was texting another friend's husband, and all of the text messages had been deleted. You know, the way you can win and message. Yeah. And then the last message was like, we need to talk. And then the message back from the husband was like, no, I don't want to talk to you because you just always want to talk about us. And that person is still with that husband.
God.
And she's like, I'm not talking to you because you were texting my husband.
Yeah, but he was texting her!
He was texting her. Like, there's two of them to play here. I'm not saying you should, like, forgive her if you're
I think you just need to maybe
forgive any of them.
Cut them all out.
Yes.
But, like, yeah, it's like when you see stories where women are like, I know my best friend's husband is cheating on her, but I'm afraid to tell her because I'm afraid I'm going to be the bad guy and she's going to cut me out.
She's not your best friend.
She's not your best friend. And people, women do. They're like,
yeah, she's not your best friend.
She's not your best friend then.
Put your losses.
Like,
I know that if I was doing something shitty, you'd fucking call me up on it.
Like, I always say to Graham, I tell you.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Because, like, I just feel like
it's because we're supposed to hold each other accountable.
And also, I don't see anybody getting hurt. Like, but like, that's crazy because, yeah, like my siblings' partners are literally eunuchs. They are sexless people. Well, like, I don't even think about that. Do you know what I mean?
Becky or Yvonne goes, I'm getting onto that RIP that I am.
Sorry about you, Matt. Listen, do you remember?
Do you remember the time we...
Kiddushin?
Yeah.
This was back in 1992 as well. You know it was.
He said before mobile phones.
Before mobile phones.
Yeah. Thought about looking you up before mobile phones.
How would you look her up? The yellow page. Yeah,
like, honestly. Margaret O'Reilly.
Remember the yellow pages? Yes.
Do you remember the yellow pages? The
phone book.
Yeah.
Remember that was... Listen, we're really old because I know there are people listening to this going, a phone what?
Yeah.
There used to be a book... I'm gonna piss myself. There used to be a really thick book that had everybody's not only phone numbers, full address.
If you wanted to unregistered, you had to pay for it.
To pay for it,
yeah.
If you wanted to stalk somebody,
he just gave you the information for free.
Like, it was
also
literally a book of doxing. You could dox anybody.
That thing as well, where you could ring the operator and get someone's number.
Get someone's number.
We're like, hi, could you give me Joey Lee's number?
Yeah.
22 like, Cherry Orchard.
Would you like to be transferred? Yeah, go on.
Yeah, thanks. Reverse charges.
Remember,
you'd be in a phone book saying, pick up, and you'd be like,
bring back,
accept the charges.
But like, it's crazy. A whole book of like people's fucking full addresses, by the way. Like, not even full address.
Yeah.
Phone number. You could find these people.
Yeah.
And then everybody was like, yeah, if you wanted to get it removed, you had to ring them up and get to pay for it.
To pay for it.
Oh my God, do you remember when phones came out first? Mobile phones came out first?
Yeah.
And you used to be able to send that text message and be like,
I have no credit, call me, please.
Could you imagine?
And you used to
get... Hi, I'm really poor.
And you used to get like five for free.
And then after that, they were like, that's enough. One of us needs to get a job.
I have no credit, call me back. And you still have to pay for a text message.
To pay for a text message.
13 cent text.
And you run out, you could be in the middle of a very important conversation.
Over. That text message had like a certain amount of characters. Yeah,
so then you would have to send two and you'd have to pay twice. What would we do? You would have to get all the information in like as small as possible. Yeah. Like, but that's where abbreviations, that's why abbreviations started in text messaging, because people were like, I don't have the money to send
ASL. Send it out to all your phone numbers. Age, sex, location, baby. Yeah.
God. Yeah. Fucking hell, we're so old, man. Sarah Jane. We're so old.
Yeah.
Because people, I know there are people listening to this going, what?
Like, Lily has never seen an old mobile phone. Like, 088, what happened then?
What did happen 088?
Yeah, first mobile numbers in Ireland.
Also, did you have this elitist thing where 085 was seen as the cheap
number? Yeah, cheap number.
What was that about? Yeah,
085.
087, Vodafone was seen as like...
Yeah, which is what I'm on.
The higher...
Always have been, baby.
No, I have no credit text messages from Sarah Jane. But
you would never get I have no credit text message from me.
I used to send them all the time.
No.
But yeah,
I'd just be like, I don't want to talk to
you. They'd only give you like a limit of like five. But yeah, or be like, I don't have any fucking credit to ring you. Yeah. You keep saying
and then you'd send one back to be like, well, I'm in the same boat, bud.
This mobile technology is crazy. Here. I don't know.
No way, you just walk out your house, you're only 12 doors down.
Why are we texting? Yeah. But that question is like, you live across the road from me and we text each other all day long.
Sometimes
every thought that comes into our brain, we're like,
hey, sometimes in work I'll come home from work and I'll say to Graham, I have to charge my phone, and he'd be like, why? And I'm like, because I'm texting them all day. Especially on Instagram, sending memes all day long.
Literally, like. But yeah, sometimes I miss the good old days, like he did, obviously. Mr. RIP.AE.
Honest to God.
Full Christian name and phone number in that
Christian
mess.
Christian name on, like.
Oh, I know he's a farmer. I know he's 100%
he's a farmer. Fair play, John. Jesus. I hope he got us home.
I hope Joan did contact him. Also, sorry about your ma, Joan. R.I.P. Joan. Do you have to pay for R.I.P.E. now? Because I know that was a big...
Well, I didn't have to pay when I was leaving condolences, but yes, you have to pay for it.
When you're like putting somebody's death up.
Yeah. Mourn hub. Isn't that what everybody's calling
it? Mourn hub, yeah.
Mourn hub.
Mourn hub. People love it. My mother. Like, my mom, when I go on her phone, it's bookmarked on her phone. Why? Like, on her internet. Because she's obsessed with it. Obsessed with it. And my brother-in-law's mother
I will say, I was explaining,
loves it,
to someone that I work with in the UK,
because they don't have it, right?
Well, they don't have it, but also funerals aren't as important.
Yeah, they're not as big a deal as,
so like, I was explaining to someone that was talking to me about like culture,
yeah,
and how it's important to understand the culture of the country that you're doing business in. And I was like, yeah, it's really important. I was like, I was only saying to a couple of the lads over there, I was like, about how important funerals are. And he was like, oh yeah, he was like, because the reason it came up is because someone said to me, oh, I have to go to a funeral like 2 weeks from now. And I was like, how do you know that?
That's crazy to me.
And I was like, oh, and they were like, what do you mean? I said, sorry, we get the body in the ground 3 days. You die 3 days later, in the ground.
Died on a Thursday, buried on a Saturday.
Yeah, like.
Removal on a Friday, burial on
and
Saturday.
And you're in the house at home rotten until then.
Smell.
The guy that was like listening, he's one of the directors, and he started to laugh and he was like talking to me about, and I was like, I said, honestly, Dan is another guy. I said, Dan, if your mum died, if we worked together every day, I would come to the funeral to pay 100%. My respects. And he was like, what do you mean?
Yeah,
and I was like, and I said,
crazy.
I said, from a business perspective, I said, things happen in the pub afterwards.
Literally.
That are related to work.
Yeah.
And he was like, what? I said, if I have a sales manager down in Kerry who's dealing with accounts, I was like, he's going to the funeral to those
100%.
Like parents.
100%. Like if people that I work with and work now, like people that I'm like close with and work, if one of their parents died, I'd be 100% at their funeral.
Yeah.
Like it wouldn't even be a thought process. Yeah. But like I remember when my Uncle Eddie died. My Uncle Eddie has family in the UK. Like he's from the UK, so he's family in the UK. And they were just flabbergasted. Like they were like, what is going on here? They couldn't get their heads around it. Like my Uncle Eddie waked in his house and they had a book of condolences and like 1,000 people signed it.
Yeah.
And then they had... Obviously,
but your Uncle Eddie was so cool.
He was the best, and he knew everybody.
Yeah,
And my Auntie Chris knows everybody as well. They know the entire country. But like, they were just like, what is going on? Because then there was like full catering.
Yeah.
Like full food, like catering, like meals. Everybody was eating. They were like, his body was just in the...
Yeah.
Like, we were eating sandwich. I don't know. Maybe we should...
I don't know. I found like Lily went in and sat with her granddad.
It is cultural and it is a thing as well.
And when I was Lily's age, I wouldn't have.
I did. My grandmother.
Not in a million years would I win.
But you were very sensitive. You were a very, very sensitive kid.
How dare you?
But you told me that.
Yeah, no, I am. Really,
yeah,
really
you were very, very
but
sensitive
like,
kid. Yeah.
Yeah, she was in, and because she felt Paula was in there by herself, and she was like, I felt bad for Paula.
See, that's really sweet.
And I was like, okay, but your dead granddad's just lying in the middle of that room.
Yeah, no, it's crazy. And it's like, I do, it is one thing as I get older.
And it's an open casket, people.
Yeah, it's open casket. Like, as I get older, there's a part of me that knows it's a little bit ridiculous. And then there's another part of me that it's the idea of someone dying and everybody rallying around is incredibly comforting.
I do think, honestly, like, and I know it's been said in other countries that we do it well.
Yeah, like
we do death and we do grief quite well. Like, because also funerals are quite happy things.
Yeah, like we
usually the bit in the church is really devastating, somber and really sad.
Yeah,
and then the bit afterwards when everybody's in the pub and everybody's telling all of these stories
about what they did,
about how they knew them and when they grew up with them.
Yeah,
and it's always really fun. My granddad. Funeral, fucking carnage.
Yeah, like it is that thing as well. Like, imagine going to a funeral as a somber event. There's 10 people there. You leave and nobody talks.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
And I didn't know one of the most traumatizing things for Irish people during COVID was the funeral situation. Funerals,
yeah,
because people very much felt like their family members didn't get the send off they deserved.
Yeah, like, and I saw today, actually, weird enough that we're talking about this. There was a girl who made a video about grief. She was a Nigerian English lady who made a video about grief. And she said that English people are not good with grief.
No.
And she was like, it comes from a lot of this stiff upper lip thing where you don't show your emotions, you keep them close to your chest. And there was a girl in the comment section being like, another Nigerian English lady. And she was like, I lived in Ireland for 4 years. And she was like, it taught me how to process grief.
Yeah.
She was like, because people would die and instead of everybody pretending it didn't happen, everybody was talking about that it did happen.
Yeah.
And people went to funerals and people embraced people's lives.
And there's a thing you do as well after someone dies, that if you're close enough with them, you show up for them.
Obviously
Graham's dad is a big part of our lives. So showing up for Graham was obviously really important for me, but me showing up for his mom wasn't the same way he was showing up for her.
Yeah.
So like, he was there and like sleeping over with her and making sure, and I was like, I'll make dinner, I'll bring up soup,
the thing.
In lasagnas, all of that stuff.
Yeah.
Is like, I was in the house, I'd clean the kitchen.
That's what people need.
And like, I think Irish people just naturally do that.
Yeah, because
yesterday when I was doing your hair and I was like, we'll make a funeral sandwich.
Yeah, oh Jesus, that was fucking beautiful, by the way.
Like,
that was a beautiful sandwich.
The idea that exists.
Yeah, like, I remember when Jerry died, the morning that Jerry died, the next morning, there were people arriving at my mum's house with like big, huge, like, pots full of soup.
Yeah.
Sandwiches. Full meals.
Cakes. Lasagnas.
My mother did not have to cook for like a week.
Yeah.
Because people were like, we want to take that burden off you. If we can take, we can't fix this, but if we can relieve some of the burden.
As I remember Richard E. Grant was talking.
Oh, no, go on, you're fine.
Richard E. Grant was talking about when his wife was sick.
Yeah.
And I think it's because they're British, but he was talking and he was like, one of the best things, he's like, people would text and be like, what do you need? And you don't know what
you need. You don't know, yeah.
And he was like, but Nigella Lawson just like showed up, didn't come in, left a load of food.
That's the thing.
And he was like, and that's what we needed. And I was like, but that's what we do in Ireland.
But that's normal for us. Yeah. Like, that's like, every the other first day when thing.
Graham's dad was dying, I was down in Graham's mom's house being like, hey, here's some food.
I'll clean the kitchen.
Hey, will I make tea?
I'll hoover.
Yeah, and I wasn't like, because to me, it was really important that like Graham's siblings and him got to spend as much time with their dad and Graham's mom.
Yeah.
And so I would go up and like talk to him, obviously, or if someone needed a break because he couldn't be left alone. But I spent way more time in the rest of the house doing other things so that they could just be up there with them.
They could experience what they needed to experience. But also, when I was in college, I did my dissertation in anthropology on death. And one of the most amazing things about it was that the cultures that and the people that grew up with less money. So Ireland is one of those places, like parts of the United States, South America, cultures that historically don't have the financial impetus.
Like New Orleans.
Places like that. Those people are, as is always the way, the most giving, kind people. They want to give you whatever they have to make you feel better. But countries that are more, that had more kind of
England.
Money, England, case in point, there's less of that because it's very much seen as we look after yourself.
You have to be self-sufficient.
There's no sense of community. Whereas the one thing I do love about being Irish, and not to be like Ireland, is we have a massive sense of community. And I hope we always have that. And the people that are out there putting Ireland flags up on flagposts, they're the people that are losing community. They think they're gaining community by excluding people.
Yeah,
they're not. They're losing their own community. But the people
like Bertie.
Yes. That fucking idiot. But like people like who want to integrate other people into the world, they're the people that will keep community, and they're the people that will bring soup to your house when someone dies. Those people that are putting flags on the posts outside, they're not bringing soup to your house when your mom dies, and that's just a fucking fact. Because they don't want community. And I think that's really important. Like, death is such a, death is life. Like, we're all going to die. We're all going to die. But like, yeah, I love that part of being Irish where it's like, and then you see,
I love the idea of like my funeral.
Like, what's going to happen at your funeral?
I like, because I don't enjoy when people die, but I love the sense of community that happens at
Incredible.
I love that bit where everybody rallies around. Yeah. At my granda's funeral, I loved the bit where Michaela was like, this one's for Morris! Like, you know, this is for you, granddad! Yeah, yeah. And like, footsteps on the, and singing.
But isn't it crazy that I think one of the saddest things in the world is the time when you will... you will never know that how much people love you
until you're not here.
And the day that you're buried, the day that you die, if you're a good person, you'll never experience that amount of love.
Someone I know had a live funeral.
Fuck off, really?
Yeah, they were dying of cancer, and so they had their party with everybody there. I think that's actually a lovely idea. Yeah. And people got up and got to say.
Oh my God, stop!
And he had a live eulogy and all of that stuff. And I just thought it was like actually really nice. He had brain cancer.
Oh,
yeah.
Bro.
Like.
But yeah, just, I don't know, try and be kind. After Emma ranted about GLP once for half an hour, but like. Just
so you were like, try and be kind, and you were like, I don't care if you're on a GLP one.
You all die, but I will bring soup to your families. Yeah. And I'll say, she wouldn't eat the soup because she was on Ozempic. So I put loads of butter in it, and I hope you all enjoy it. Maybe if she ate the soup, she'd still be alive.
Like
coughing, isn't it? Not much carrying in that.
Sarah made a roux in the bottom of that soup. That soup is actually a sauce.
It is pure butter.
I remember someone asked me a recipe for one of my soups online, and I gave them the recipe, and they just wrote back being like, that's a roux and a sauce. I said, yeah.
And what?
I wrote back saying, if you add more water.
Just boil the kettle, pour it in, done. But yeah, I don't know.
Anyway, I think that might be the end. That was a good
also,
full circle.
Fuck Bertie Ahern.
Bertie Ahern's
an idiot. And then I saw when he tried to backtrack, he was like,
what did he backtrack?
He said that he was kind of uncomfortable and he didn't know what to do. So you just became
fucking racist.
Racist. Also, that woman recording him.
Well, she tricked them.
She's like, what about Sharia law?
Yeah, no, she full blown. She's like, you're a racist, and I'm going to get you.
Because the guy he was canvassing with is like a known fucking
yeah, because yoke. Also, yeah, yeah. Because Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael recognised, which is Sinn Féin didn't recognise, that people were becoming more racist.
Yes.
And they had way more independents that were running on these racist and bigoted and homophobic
ballots,
views. So when they were knocking on people's doors, because they've never not been in power, and they can't ever not be in power, they were like, we need to do everything possible. It's the same when, what's that guy that I used to like, was out talking about our president, our now sitting president, and he was like, I'd gut her. I'd fucking cut her.
Oh, that piece of shit. Yeah.
Like, he's also, was a member of that government. So behind closed doors, they're doing anything possible to remain in power.
Yeah, 100%.
And so when he came across someone that was like, and what do you think of the Muslims? And what do you think of Sharia law? He was like, oh yeah, I'll go down that path because then I'll get your vote. That's all he wanted.
That's all he wanted. For him to be like...
And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that he's not racist.
No,
he's
clearly
fucking
racist.
And he clearly has the backbone of a slug.
He knew how to play it. He knew how to be like, yeah, I'm not worried about the older Muslims. Those younger Muslims, what are you even talking about?
Sorry, but the older Muslims from actually a more strict Muslim society.
Most Muslims growing up in this country aren't.
Generational Muslims that are coming into our country and second generation immigrants, wouldn't they be in a more liberal, open society?
And wouldn't they be in more, as I was saying, community? They're being integrated into Irish communities.
Yeah. And isn't your bigoted ass just like... just a fucking racist, because it doesn't make any sense.
No, also you're ugly.
Yeah.
There we go. Anyway, everybody.
And your daughter's a shit otter.
Shit.
Shit.
Garbage. Anyway, everybody.
This episode's going to be called Bertie Ahern's a Racist. And it is going to be called
It's going to be called that. It's 100% the episode is being called Bertie Ahern's a Racist.
Yeah.
But everybody, thank you for listening this week. As we said, we're trying to figure this
out. I don't know what the format is. He's going to have to do some work. We're about 2 hours in.
No, it's
and
fine.
And you just fucking ranted like a madwoman.
Sorry,
mad woman.
Colin cut out most of that rant.
I've been sitting hanging around with Anne Leibovitz, I am. Is that her name?
Who? Fran Leibovitz?
There you go. Thanks.
Anne Leibovitz is the photographer.
You want the same thing?
They're
related.
I think related, aren't they?
Yeah.
I think they are.
One's a crazy cunt.
Me.
And the other one takes great photos.
You.
I don't know if they're great.
Everybody have a lovely rest of your week. We're trying to figure this out. We're figuring it out.
I don't know.
Shake my hand.
I think we did a full circle, but we came back around to where we started. Around.
Shout out to that man on RIP out, Donnie. I hope he got his hole. Rest in peace, Joan's mother.
I don't know if her name is Joan. Happy Christmas.
See you later.
Ah, Jesus, Graham, what did you invite up in the sure gang to the party for? Shuri's out of control!
Hey there, Sarah Jane. It's me, Sugar. Fancy a ride? There's a rumor going round about sexy horses in the underground. Looking lovely from head to hoof. Going mental cause we're bulletproof. Running hurdles, clearing ditches cause we feel no pain, yeah. Sexy horses at the session doing crack cocaine. Sexy horses. Sexy horses. Somebody slap me.